day when we can remember Jesus sent into our world to rescue us, a saviour, a born of Mary, lying in a manger. And dear Lord, help us to ponder the enormity of this from every perspective, the enormity that God became man. Amen. Please join along with me if you know this song.
I can see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. God of the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright, bright, sunshiny day.
That's my Christmas present to you. Hope you enjoyed it. You didn't need to clap, that was dreadful. But good morning, everyone. It's wonderful to see you here this morning. Ellie is now 4, and that song by Johnny Nash was written when I was 4 in 1972. Experiencing renewed popularity in 1993, as you may know, in the soundtrack to the greatest film ever made, Cool Runnings, about the Jamaican Olympic bobsled team. It's a song about seeing clearly. And as we launch our new series today on John's Gospel, Come and See. Seeing clearly is what John's Gospel is all about. In its pages, and we invite you to please pick up one of these beautiful small copies of John's Gospel as our Christmas gift to you. John holds out an invitation for us to come and see Jesus clearly for ourselves. It's an invitation to not only see God, but know God like never before. Just at Jesus' birth, God sent a throng of angels, to invite shepherds out in fields nearby to come and see this child wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. In John's Gospel, we will see Jesus' disciples when they first meet Jesus as he begins his ministry as an adult. Nazareth, can anything good come from there? Come and see. We'll see people such as Nicodemus come to Jesus at night to see for himself whether Jesus was truly from God, or a woman by a well, leaving with a checkered past, leaving her water jar behind and running back to her hometown to say, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? John is writing so that we will come and see Jesus clearly for ourselves. And in seeing, as he writes at the end of the book in his purpose statement, that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, have life in his name. Ellie, this morning, it's lots of fun. Ellie, did Santa bring you that present? No, we don't have a chimney. She's cottoning onto things. We don't have a chimney. A toothbrush was in her little stocking. A toothbrush isn't a real present, Daddy. Smarties are a real present. A toothbrush is not. A mango is not. Lego is elves' Lego. It's your little pack of elves' Lego. But Ellie has quickly cottoned onto the fact that Christmas also means presents. When a new present appears under the tree this week, especially a large one, is it for me? Is it for me? And John's Gospel opens by revealing the enormity of God's gift to us at Christmas. And yes, it's for you. This is one gift you do not want to miss and leave under the tree unopened this Christmas. In these opening verses, piece by piece, John will unwrap the best gift you could possibly receive. Piece by piece, the identity of the person John is speaking about is slowly but surely revealed in all his glory. First, let's look at verses 1 to 5. Introducing the Word. Verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. On Christmas Eve 1968, 50 years ago this Christmas, Apollo 8 reached lunar orbit. After blasting off from the Kennedy Space Center 3 days earlier, the three astronauts on board, Anders, Borman and Lovell, were greeted with a sight never before seen by human eyes. The Earth rise from behind the surface of the moon. At that moment, Anders spoke these words for the people back on Earth. The crew of Apollo 8 has a message that we would like to send you. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And John launches his gospel by taking us back to the beginning, reaching all the way back to the very beginning of the universe, ringing with reminders of God creating the heavens and the earth from Genesis 1. John introduces us to the Word, who was there in the very beginning with God, enjoying intimate relationship with God the Father, but also was God. The Word was God Himself. Before creation, God was not alone. John is introducing us to another person within God, one God, but complexity within the Godhead. Why is he called the Word? I asked Carolyn Clark what her three kids wanted this Christmas, and she proudly said, books. Books are a great gift because they're full of words. Words which teach us and tell us stories and describe wonderful people and places and things and circumstances and adventures. So maybe the Word is the perfect name to describe someone with God, who is God, who can teach us clearly about God like never before. The Word is God's ultimate self-revelation to humanity. From verse 3, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now we learn that this Word wasn't just there at the beginning as a passive observer, but made everything that exists in our universe. In fact, nothing exists in our universe that this Word didn't have a hand in creating. As God spoke the universe into existence, let there be light. The Word was lovingly involved in every aspect of God's glorious design, and in him was life. The Word doesn't just have eternal life or give eternal life. He is eternal life. He is life, the author of life. All life originates and emanates from him. The only reason any of us can move or even begin to give and unwrap presents and eat turkey with cranberry sauce today is because of the life we've been given that flows from the Word. And this Word came to shine God's light, the light of the knowledge of God into our dark world, which adds tension to the story of Christmas. There's darkness in our world, but the Word is the way we can see and find our way out of the darkness. These first five verses change everything. We're only a few layers into unwrapping John's gospel, and already what he shows us is staggering. But you ain't seen nothing yet. Point two, the Word became flesh. The Voyager 2 spacecraft has left a remarkable journey, has made a remarkable journey. Launched by NASA in 1977, 41 years ago, on its travels it has revealed storms on Jupiter. It's measured the temperature on Saturn, minus 203 degrees Celsius. It's discovered six unknown moons surrounding the planet Neptune. And on November the 5th of this year, just a few weeks ago, it crossed the outer edge of our solar system, becoming the second only man-made object to enter interstellar space. And our own Canberra Deep Space Communication Complex and Parkes Telescope are the only facilities in the world capable of having contact with the spacecraft. The earth-shattering news that John describes is the remarkable journey of the Word, who now leaves his home in eternity to enter space and time. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. The Word who was with God and is God and who created everything has now entered our world clothed in flesh. To use a Christmassy word, Jesus donned our humanity, putting on human flesh, but without sin. The sinless one now dwelt among us as one of us, both fully God and fully human. Last year at Easter, Renee and myself and Ellie camped out for the first time together on Mount Tambourine, next to good friends of ours who, by the way, had an excellent coffee machine that made camping out in the rain almost enjoyable. Ellie enjoyed camping so much, she named our tent Anna and Elsa from Frozen. Couldn't help herself. And the word for dwelling, made his dwelling among us in verse 14, is to pitch a tent, to camp out. In the Old Testament, God's people, the Israelites, would meet with God at the tent of meeting, called the tabernacle, and later at the temple, places where God's people could symbolically meet with God. But now God is literally camped out among us, fulfilling everything the tabernacle and the temple stood for. God himself has arrived in a new and startling way, camping out and revealing his grace to us like never before imagined. The law came through Moses, the law that exposed how much we don't love God and other people. But with the coming of Jesus, that law has now been superseded. Now grace and truth, a new way to relate to God through the free gift of forgiveness through Jesus Christ, has been made clear. And now John rips off the last piece of Christmas paper to reveal the words, true identity, Jesus. If you haven't already guessed, Jesus is God in the flesh. Verse 18, no one has ever seen God but Jesus, the one and only Son, who is himself God and in closest relationship with the Father, has made God known. God has shown himself clearly in a way everyone can understand, as a real historical man. And as we walk through John's gospel, we're going to see things. We're going to see extraordinary things, amazing things, just as you would expect if God was to arrive in the flesh and display his creative glory among us. Introducing the Word became flesh. Point three, so we can become God's children if we receive him today. During high school, I enjoyed painting in oils with oil paints. Anyone else enjoy painting? A few of you enjoy painting? I loved oils. I couldn't do anything else, but when I got to oil paints, I could do it. The first painting I ever did was of an avocado, which isn't the easiest thing to paint, but it looked exactly like an avocado. And so for my year 12 major work, I painted a picture of Jesus, which got accepted into the Art Express exhibition displayed at the New South Wales Art Gallery. There's a picture of my painting there. I'm joking. That was a joke. But I remember going to see my work, my own work. I remember going to see my own work at the Art Gallery, standing behind, and I stood behind these two men who were critiquing my painting and basically saying that it was rubbish. Nice. But imagine if you were God from the beginning, life and light of humanity, creator of everything, whose loving and artistic fingerprints are all over our world. Humanity is the pinnacle of his great artistic achievement. And yet when he came, we didn't recognize him. We didn't respect him. We didn't want to know him. We critiqued him. In fact, not even his own people, Jewish leaders, acknowledged or received him. They critiqued him again and again, and they called our God rubbish. We owe our Creator our love and worship and allegiance. Everything we see and everything we are originated in him. Every gift we unwrap today has been made of the stuff that came from God's gracious hand. And yet we so often don't recognize him or honor or worship him as we should. Yet the good news this Christmas, verse 12, is that to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. God's very children. This is the reason why John is writing, so that through encountering Jesus in this gospel, we can see God clearly, and that through believing in Jesus, we can enjoy perfect relationship with God as his children forever. Will you receive the gift of Jesus this Christmas? C.S. Lewis called Christmas the grand miracle. Canadian theologian J.I. Packer once wrote, "Nothing in fiction is so fantastic as is the truth of the incarnation. God became man. The divine Son became a Jew. The Almighty appeared on earth as a helpless human baby, unable to do more than lie and stare and wriggle and make noises, needing to be fed and changed and taught to talk like any other child." Christmas means we can't save ourselves, but we needed someone to enter the darkness of our world to rescue us. Christmas is the confronting and humbling message that we can never climb up to God, but that he had to come down to us. That nothing less than the death of God's Son could save us. To receive Jesus this Christmas, you need to admit that you're a sinner, and that takes great courage. But God doesn't ask you to lower yourself further than he was willing to lower himself for you. I've grown to like our Scots manger. I'm not sure if you can see this. I've grown to love our manger. Doesn't look like much, does it? Isn't it incredible to think that at Jesus' birth, the unimaginable greatness of God was packed into a tiny manger just like that? His entry vehicle into our cosmos, a feeding trough for cattle. At our Christmas planning meeting, I requested to fix the manger. Can I fix the manger? Can I make it look a little more presentable? No, Bruce, don't be a perfectionist. Leave it alone. At least can I replace the MDF with some horizontal slats to make it look a little more authentic? Nope. Stop going OCD on the cradle. So we just taped it up. Dan put a few nails on the bottom to stop the baby dropping through. And then we shoved some wood in there so the mouldy straw sits a tad higher. The astonishing news is that God chose a manger, just like ours, to be born in so that we can come and see him and approach him like never before. No defences, no barriers, no airs or graces, no horizontal slats to get in the way, no fake authenticity. The manger is what sets Christianity apart from all other religions, that Jesus our God would suffer for me. But even further than a manger, but lower himself further still to a cross and then a tomb. From a dark stable to the darkness of the cross, Jesus came so that we can enjoy the warmth and the light of God's presence this Christmas and forever. Let's believe. Let's celebrate Jesus. Glory in a manger. The greatest gift from God to us. Let's pray. Thank you, God, our Creator. We praise you today for loving us so much that you would send your Son to be born in a manger, to suffer for us so that we can be called your children if we only believe. Thank you for this good news today. Thank you for all we have to celebrate. Help us to enjoy every good gift today as coming ultimately from your hand, a reminder of what has come from your hand, the gift of Jesus. The gift of Jesus on that first Christmas. Thank you for Jesus, we pray. If anyone here today does not know Jesus, we pray that they would believe, that you would give them that gift of faith. We pray that your message would ring out today throughout the world, a message of peace for all mankind, peace between God and man. Amen. Let's stand and sing.